All right, what's up, podcast listener, viewer? Here it is. It's me, it's Dave. I'm back again with another video intro. This still doesn't feel natural, but we're getting used to it. You may or may not notice I have a completely different shot this time. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it and just seen if anyone noticed. But in any case, we're making gains here. Every single episode, progressive overload, some people might call it. But every time we're getting a little better at it, and we thank you very much for your patience while we go down this whole video route. It's been super fun solving all these little technical challenges that come up. Definitely have a just over the years of doing the pod and of doing the pod with video now, I think we have a newfound appreciation for producers and editors and just content creators everywhere. God, I hate the C word. But anyway, yeah, so thanks for joining us. We have a pretty great episode today. Off the top, we start with Dan to Dan, episodes 7 and 8. I kept my end of the bargain, my promise. I watched 7 hours worth of The Penguin between last episode and this. We talk about the entire series. We get into spoilers. We do the whole thing. We give a big, giant warning before we get there, so don't worry. But we get knee-deep into The Penguin. I also binged Shangri-La Frontier because I've been homesick. I mean, even when I'm working, I'm home. But I guess that's not the point, and you probably don't care about that. But yeah, Shangri-La Frontier, I'm like, I don't know, I want to say 4 episodes into season 2. So we talk about everything up to that point. We do talk about gaming a little bit. Grant talks to us about this anime. It's a mouthful. Let's see if I can remember the whole thing. Orb on the Movements of the Earth. Look at that. Fucking nailed it. He's caught up on that. I think there's like 8 or 9 episodes out on Netflix. He pitches that. I'm a couple episodes into the three body problems, so we talk about that. And then like odds and ends, the Grim Variations, Dragon Ball Daima, Blue Lock, all towards the end of the pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. I feel reinvigorated with all this video stuff. It's wild. It's been super fun. So thanks for listening and watching, and yeah, enjoy. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hey, dude.
What's up, buddy?
Well, you know,
We're back at it,
just
man.
back at it.
Last
Nice
time I
to,
saw you was in person.
yeah, not too long ago, a couple days.
Coming off some birthday celebrations,
Yes, sir.
housewarming celebrations.
Was a good
Very
night.
adult shit. Yeah, it was great. You were very gracious with your gifts.
You mean my presence alone?
Yes. Hey, that's a fun. That's well done. Okay. One thing I should have asked off mic, but we're here now. Is do you want to catch that movie? Is that this Friday? I guess it's going to depend on both of our ailing health.
I'm being
It's okay.
very optimistic that I don't catch what the rest of the family has, but I don't know. I should be good. I'm taking
Cool.
multivitamins now. I'll be okay. A day at
Yeah.
worst.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Tentatively, yes. I'm gonna
Okay.
say yes, but we'll see.
Okay, we'll confirm later in the week. Last thing I want to do is get you sick if I haven't recovered. I don't know what this is.
Leanna is like the worst shape she's been in like many a year.
Oh my
So like
God.
if I'm gonna get it, it's from her. But
Isn't that weird sometimes how your spouse can be just sick as a dog lying next to you, and we have all these precautions, especially in like a post-COVID kind of era about sanitizers and masks and this and that. But like, there is a point, I feel like, when you live with someone where you're like, okay, it is inevitable, I will catch what you have, right? And you guys are new parents, relatively speaking, you know what I mean? Like, you just figure there's so much cross-contamination, and then sometimes nothing. It doesn't make sense.
It's crazy because it's almost always the inverse. Like Leanne, I always joke Leanne is
Yeah.
like the Italian steel, battalion. Like she does not get nothing affects her gut with food. She never gets sick.
That's wild, eh?
I am sick at least 2 times a month. And same thing, she lays beside me and she's fine. And like to see her like, super, super low, and I'm like oddly springing my step. It's like, oh, this is like the upside down here. But
Yeah.
yeah. But no, we'll see. I'm excited. It's 'cause Akira. I would really much like to
Yeah.
see that.
Yeah,
Thing
there's this
is,
old.
do you think they're gonna do subs or dubs? This is a very interesting thing.
I could have sworn that they mentioned that, just for the context for the viewer slash listener. And viewer, this is our like third episode in a row of video, by the way. Unless, of course, you
Eh?
don't see it, in which case you can assume something went wrong. But hey, we've said that in the last two. Nothing's
We've been
gone
good.
wrong.
We've been good.
But what I was gonna say was one a local theater here in Ottawa is doing this whole anime thing, where they're showing a bunch of these classic anime movies, I don't know, once or twice a month or something, and they're showing Akira. And you may or may not remember, a year or two ago, Grant and I did this like foursome, once a month anime movie review. And I think Akira might have been the first anime movie we ever reviewed together.
I think it was every other week. I think we did.
Yeah. Wild. Anyway, so
Those are fun.
I haven't
I
seen
don't know why we
it.
haven't done those again.
Yeah, hey, maybe this is an excuse. Let's say like they're gonna show more movies. Let's tar you know, if we don't do this Friday, and even if we do, let's keep an eye on that and see what else they play. Regardless of whether or not we can make it to the showing, it'll at least give us some ideas on, what classic anime perhaps we haven't seen.
Sure, and we might stumble into a classic anime review. Movie
Yeah, that
review.
might be fun. And like, were you saying the other day, like you'd never, at least with adult eyes or post anime podcast eyes, have you not seen Ghost in the Shell with a fresh, open mind and a third eye?
It's been many years. It was definitely pre us in the podcast. So what's that now? Like 4 years ago? Four or
Same
five
here.
years now? So
So, man, if we get lucky, maybe we catch that in a theater somewhere.
Because we were talking, with friends, a friend of ours, and like I think I was, it was weird because like when I had first given a swing at it, I was definitely the age that like 20, 21, where people were like, oh, this, you should be checking this out, and it was just when people kind of click to it, I just bounced off it. Like I don't know if it was or what it was, state of mind in the moment, like too tired or whatever it is,
Well,
but
it's hard to say. Sometimes it just don't hit. I mean, here's a great example. You and I both tried Neon Genesis Evangelion, what, two or three times?
Twice. I took second swing. I was good on it.
Yeah, I think I might have tried and failed two or three times before it really got me. So anyway, sometimes you gotta be ready for the art,
Persistence.
Okay, speaking of the art, let's jump into the heavy hitter.
Ooh, I'm curious for your heavy hitters right now.
I've got a couple surprises for you, but one of
Ooh.
them is, I mean, let's just talk about the belle of the ball here, Dan to Dan, because a
Episode
reminder,
seven, eight. Episode 7 and 8, yeah.
episode 7 and 8, a reminder to the listener, we're a bi-weekly podcast, and so there's 2 weeks worth of Dan to Dan that's we haven't talked about, and by the time you listen to this, another episode is around the corner. So, but the one that really seemed to set the internet ablaze is episode 7. Did you
Why is
see?
it always the IMDb ratings? Why is that like the first thing that comes
I don't
up
know.
when anything, a new episode of anime airs? Like it's, very strange argument, online argument.
So, Grant's referencing the fact that episode 7 of Dan to Dan has a current, what, 9.8 rating on
I think, is
IMDb.
it 8? I thought it was 7. Like, it
It
doesn't matter,
is
but
something absurd. I think. So I don't want to detract from the episode at all, but just as a nitpick here, Grant, I will say, like, I think our rating systems, not ours personally, I think in general, the systems we use to track ratings is kind of inherently flawed because a good example, my anime list, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, all these movies or all these platforms, rather, they're around like post internet, and they're becoming ultra popular, like in this weird social media, like ultra online generational kind of peak moment we have. And this reminds me of like Frieren season one wasn't even over, and it's the highest rated anime of all time on my anime list. And it was like, okay, this might be a touch presumptuous. Right. And then there's like some toxicity where like anytime Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood would get dethroned, fans would coordinate a mass rating review bomb to
Not
keep it at
everything,
number one. And it's just like, okay, I think, and then sometimes, you look at like Rotten Tomatoes and like, I don't know, Shawshank Redemption is like 70%. And then like, I don't know, Wicked is 99. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like there's a heavy recency bias, I think, just because of the age of the demographic that use these tools. Anyway, it's a total random tangent, but I loved episode 7 of Dan to Dan. I just don't know if it
Agree.
was absolute perfection.
No, like I
It was
think in
great
the
though.
moment, I will say, like, because normally I have like I try to keep shows like, Dan to Dan, stuff that has like a tinge of There's like a nighttime allure to them, like like the setting.
Mm.
There's like a certain time of the day you want to watch it. I
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
watched that too early in the day, and I was like, "Well, this feels like a little too heavy and dark for like the sun shining outside my window right now."
That's a good point.
So like, not that like it overall like made the episode worse or anything like that, but I felt like, oh, I could have really enjoyed this a little more, like setting and experience and all that. But great episode. I think. I'll be honest, like I'm not trying to like downplay a new character. Like I think that's kind of a problem. Not that I see it with Dan to Dan, but like this type of genre, like the Shonen Jump formula or whatever. It's a handful of episodes that clearly like the two main characters, and then they throw in the third, then they throw in the fourth, and then by the time season one ends, you've like there's not a whole ton of story told because they've just spent all the effort
It's
like
set up,
introducing those four
yeah.
characters. And I'm already kind of like, I do kind of feel that with Dan Dan a bit of like, oh, okay. Like, it's just, I'm sure there's some more major stuff is going to happen. Like, episode eight was pretty great setting up a big episode fights and whatnot. And for episode nine, but like, on the back of my head, all I can think of was like, oh, like, we're just like taking steps, like, meet another character. As
Yep.
much as like, the OP shows as much and all the promotional photos and whatnot. But I don't know. Like, I'm looking forward to like when there's a season two and we have all this behind us. We have the characters, we have the cast, and we can just focus on, maybe it's like a just problem of us watching so much anime now. Like we're doing all the seasonal stuff, like we're always checking out a new thing. Not that there's any fatigue, but it's like, yeah, like I'm looking forward to meeting everyone, but I want the story, like I want, and I don't know. It's like everyone should have their share and their fill and getting to know all the characters, but. I don't know. I like Momo and I like Okerman. Like the two of them. Like I would have been fine with just them, for the rest of the season kind of thing. But I don't know. Bloat. I just feel like not the sh it is bloated yet, but it's like, ah, like we're just already adding on layers and layers and layers when I feel like I should be getting to know them a little more still.
Right.
But and my only little gripe with episode 7 and 8, I think. But
Yeah, so I don't fully disagree with any of that. I think you have a point, like, and if you're a diehard anime fan, which there's a pretty good chance you are if you're listening to this, I think often, especially if like, you've been around the block, you've seen some anime, and you're watching like seasonal stuff, that Grant is absolutely right in that, like, you can't tell me it doesn't feel derivative at times, right?
Sure.
Like there, we used to joke about, wow, it's pretty wild how Chainsaw Man feels exactly like Jujutsu Kaisen, and how, Dan to Dan, at least in tone and theme and even in character design and environment and setting, it feels a lot like Mob Psycho sometimes. It can be difficult not to see stuff you've already seen, and then you kind of know what's coming. And I thought episode 7 was probably among the strongest episodes they've had. But it at the same time, at the end of it, I was like, oh, that was just like killing a demon in Demon Slayer. I was like,
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I was like,
it did feel like a slightly tonally off what we have seen so far.
you're definitely right
Like,
about
yeah,
that.
so it's like not that's a detract like a detractor in any way, but it's they've done such a good job like setting up this platform for what this show is, the loud, the colors, and like not that there wasn't any of that, but it's like, oh, this is like a very like total turn away from what they've
Yeah.
done so far, so it's
In the moment, and I had the benefit of watching this late at night, with the whole setup with the glowing TV light thing and all that, and that dancing, that ballet sequence with all the blue starry skies, that was pretty beautiful. And at the time, this is crazy, I was half glass full and you were half glass empty. I was looking at it and I was like, wow, it's great to see that they can do more than one thing. I was like, oh, this is impressive, like a tonal shift, but you're right, like it was very different from what they've done before.
Demon
And it
Slayer's fair. I
won.
didn't even think that. That's spot on. Like, Tanjiro's kind of ending of a demon there.
Yeah, you get the whole backstory. I thought it was sweet. At the time, I hadn't seen it eight yet, obviously, but at the time, I was like, this is a lot of energy they're putting into just like a ghost that they're killing. And then I think episode eight sets up the fact that it seems likely the pink hair girl, Ira, I think is her name, I believe we'll get a transformation where she's probably borrowing the powers of that ballet
Similar curse
ghost thing,
situation,
similar to an Okarun, somewhat. I don't know, but that seems to be what they're teeing up. So I don't know.
I do love the bit they're going with Era and like Momo's a demon, Okarun's a demon, she's very much like I'm the main character energy, which
Main
I thought
character
was like,
syndrome,
oh,
yeah.
I wonder if how much they're gonna play into this, or like she's gonna like get the end. But like no, like she's just kind of like keeping with it, and pretty
Yeah.
funny. The opening scene of episode 8 of them like eating, Momo and her arguing, and like their mouths aren't moving. It's
I
almost like they're
know.
talking through thought bubble as they're,
Yeah.
they're stuffing their faces with noodles and all that. It's pretty
That was
funny.
creative
Yeah.
and
I did
fun.
love the Godzilla reference at the end of the episode. I thought that was super sick. When the Momo runs into like the lizard creature,
Oh, get the
it does the whole Shin Godzilla breathing down into the ground and shooting the laser. I was like,
I
oh
was
my
watching
God.
that and Sam was like, "What is that?" And I was like, "I think it's Godzilla. Like, I think
Yeah,
that's
it's
what they're getting
100% what
into."
that is. Yeah, so
Yeah,
sick.
that was pretty funny.
I had that spoiled for me before I saw the episode. I was like,
Oh,
oh wow.
really?
I mean, well, not even spoiled. I just I saw the clip and I was like, oh, what show is that? And then it cuts to Momo kind of tucked away, and I'm like, oh, it's Dandadan. I should probably get on that because that's clearly some Godzilla stuff there. So,
That's funny.
but yeah, Dandadan. I'm kind of bummed that we only have 4 weeks left. It's
I
almost
know.
done.
This whole thing with these shows being 12 episodes is such a pain in the ass. Like I'm just thinking about, I don't know why. I think maybe just my algorithm is doing it, but I've been seeing a lot of clips on Chainsaw Man, and I'm like, man, that was a good one.
So good.
And like it was a while ago and it was so short-lived because cut back to what you said a minute ago, episode 12 is you get more than intros, but like a lot of it is just like setup about what's the show about. So I don't know.
Well,
What do you say?
to my earlier point, I think Chainsaw Man is like the perfect example of, not like again, we loved the first season, and I really, really dug it. And just based on like what I've read in the manga, like that first 12 episodes of content in the manga is very much set up. And then once they kind of get all like clearly the main cast out of the way, then like the story can like really explode. And it 100% does that. And then like that's what's coming with the movie, this year. So like that's what I'm looking forward to with Dandadan, and same thing, like Sakamoto Days is coming out in January. I'm super
That'll be a
excited
big
for
one.
that. Same thing, I guarantee you, I know exactly, I can picture exactly what the first 12 episodes are going to be. It's all going to be set up. I think maybe this is just a Shonen Jump thing. Like it's their formula. Like they gotta, keep viewers reading and whatnot.
It definitely feels formulaic
But the
sometimes.
second they're going to hit that 12 episode point, it just the story just really jumps away, and like this whole
Take
world
some
kind of
left
opens up.
turns.
Even yeah, even not even left turns, but just it just opens up where they don't have to put so much attention into learning or introducing these characters and learning about these characters. Like we know them at this point. So yeah, I don't know. I'm are you gonna read Dan to Dan?
No, I
No.
think no, and nothing against it.
Yeah.
I just I'm we haven't talked about this much or at all actually. I am halfway through Berserk Volume 2. Do you have yours yet?
I do not, but I was reading yours a bit the other night.
Oh boy, buddy. Yeah, I think like that property just has me by the cojones.
Yeah.
Like, if there's anything I want to read, all I
For
want to
sure.
do is read Berserk.
Fair enough.
Like, it's all I want. And you and I have talked about this too. Like, there may come a point. I've got Jujutsu Kaisen on the mind. For like, do we just say screw it and read that one? But I
Sure.
don't know. We'll see. Yeah, one thing at a time. Okay, the other big thing, I made a commitment. I said I would do it. I
Proud of
finished
you,
The
buddy.
Penguin.
Yeah, buddy. How do you feel?
I'm good, man. So The Penguin, so last week Grant had wrapped it up. He was like week to week on it. I was way behind. So between in the last 2 weeks, I think I've watched seven episodes, which is crazy for me because I have a hard time binging things in adult life. So I'd like to take a moment and congratulate myself on that. That is a dark binge, I'll tell you that shit.
That's heavy.
It's incredibly heavy. So let's get into it. I think we can lift the spoiler ban. Here's your spoiler warning. It's been out a couple weeks. They're doing all these interviews about what happened and this and that. So yeah, I mean, I think that's probably as good as a superhero or DC property show gets. I mean, Peacemaker was amazing, but
I was
this
gonna
could.
say apples and oranges, but like I think both succeeded in their mission statements,
Yeah, and we touched on this a little bit last week, man, or last episode. Like, there is a truly great irony that DC just couldn't make one good movie to save their lives until, there's a couple exceptions here and there. But especially when you were comparing them to like this major box office war between them and the MCU. And like, I don't want to say, no, it feels pretty resounding. It feels like most Marvel shows, no one is particularly over the moon about. Like, it just seems, like they made fun of it in Deadpool 3. Like, it's just been miss after miss. And here comes DC just annihilating the medium. I can't believe how good this was. At times it felt a little long, but then by the time we wrapped up, I
That
was
could have
like,
been a
nah.
byproduct of the binge, though. Maybe.
Yeah, but what I
I
was gonna
felt
say
it,
is,
yeah.
by the time I ended, I was like, nah, that was probably the right amount of time. Maybe there's a bit of fat here and there that you could have trimmed, but probably not. Some episodes were shorter than others.
One or two like glaring weak characters, but like maybe just one for me personally, but like just like what
Who?
I'm the Sophie is like doctor there.
Oh
Very, very
yeah.
like, you know,
Julian?
teased, yeah, teased, set up, played around
Yeah.
with a bit, and then was just completely discarded. And I was like, what got cut out here? You know, it felt very like
Yeah.
edited out. I know everyone's like, there's the all the Easter eggs, and people are kind of going nuts over who he might actually be and whatnot.
Haven't touched any spoiler discussions of any kind.
Good Easter eggs in his office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scarecrow, it feels like
Scarecrow,
hypnotism. Yeah, that feels
yeah.
not crazy. I wonder, I mean, they bring him in for a movie for the Batman 2 thing. Like maybe not as a main villain, but as
Maybe.
a
Well, the name, A, like the name is wrong. Not that's everything, but like,
Oh right, because the Scarecrow obviously has a real name and he's not Julian. But he is a doctor though, right? And wasn't he a doctor in the
Yeah, he was like the head, I think it's something Crane. He's like the head of the Arkham for a period,
Oh, so
like
he did.
majority
So
of the
that
time.
part is.
Yeah, like he's associated in Arkham and whatnot, but I don't know. I found this to be like a
You didn't love
very
it.
standout cast, like the biggest weak link. He also like too like I have he was in Sons of Anarchy, and
Okay.
I have such a hard time like that was like the it's literally the only other thing I've seen him in.
Is he a major character in that?
He was like. He was in the main cast, like he's one of the guys, and but he was like probably like B tier, you know, had like a couple lead storylines, but like, you know, wasn't like one of the guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it was just like I couldn't, you know, dissociate him from like his character in that. So it was just like super weird to see him like, you know, dressed up or in like a nice shirt and pants and like, you know, being like an
Right.
evil doctor. It was a little hard for me. Again, that's on me, it's not on the show, but Colin Farrell
The Colin Farrell, I mean,
and you know, Carson Milani, like
there's been a lot
unreal, the two of
of
them.
pretty high drama lately. I'm late on White Lotus and all this stuff, and I'm curious to see what the because I'm late on everything, but I'm curious to see what the nominations look like for this round of Emmys and who he'll be up against. But like, I mean, it seems like I'm not often bold with predictions on this stuff, but it feels like a pretty big no-brainer. Like he should
I think
absolutely be
so.
nominated, her as well.
Yeah.
The hair and makeup probably. But yeah, his performance was pretty unbelievable.
It was
Like,
I just thought it was so cool how both of them played such a different type of intimidation, you
yeah.
know? Like just their presence on the screen. Like they're doing two completely different things, but both came with the exact same result. Like everyone in the room was more or less like, you know, scared of them and all that. But it was again like it was different flavors of each kind of like you know being the boss or whatever, and I just to watch them and the two of them go back and forth like try the you know like you always like when you see like a show and it's like written in that like, they're playing like cat and mouse with each other, it doesn't like always like play like it doesn't always feel like
Yeah.
genuine the entire time of like him her trying to figure him out and him lying through his teeth at like every opportunity, it was like you know it was like kind of like whoa like is she gonna like call him on him this time or like you know is he gonna get he always gets away because you know clearly by the end there but. He's a snake man. What a well-written version of this character.
Yeah, I mean, ultra modern take that like fits so perfectly into the Matt Reeves Batman, mini universe, whatever, Elseworld, whatever the fuck they call it. I will say a little standout episode that I just didn't see coming, and I mean, well, really the whole of Sophia's arc. They do this, flashback of her in Arkham and essentially being framed for being the quote hangman and that whole thing. I didn't see that coming at all.
No.
I don't know what's accurate comic wise or whatever, but I did not see that coming. I thought they handled that beautifully, and I thought they handled her revenge against the family also super super well.
That's pretty crazy.
I
Her to
did
like put on the mask and going for a walk and like, oh, what is she doing with that mask?
awesome. Awesome. I also loved how her story wrapped up. I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna kill her for sure. And I was like, wait, no, he's not. There's gonna be a twist. And then of course, what's like the cruelest possible thing you can do? You send
Send
her
her right
right back.
back.
And it works out beautifully for him because he needed, he kind of he gets both ends, right? He gets the street cred and the like monopoly on crime in Gotham, and he gets someone to take the fall for it, and he gets a competing power out of his way in one fell swoop. And he makes a councilman look good. Now he's got favors in the city that he can call in.
I
Kind of
hope,
the master stroke on his end. And it was, I love that it was never perfect. Oz was never mastermind fucking Lex Luthor, right? He's
No.
stumbling, he's making so many fucking mistakes, he's
He's an
killing people.
opportunist. Like he had a plan until something came up that was better, and he rolled with that and just repeat, 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 like right to the end. But and you and I were talking about it. We went to a show last week. And I think we were talking about it for a hot second. But like, oh, cat, don't do it. All right. But like the mission statement of the show is like they're not like trying to redeem him in any way. They're not trying to make him like a Walter White type figure of like. Is there like some redemption left in him? Like they do a good job every single episode reminding you that he is a huge piece of shit and he is a monster of a person. And it's like at no point do you think is you're gonna become a good cat? What are you doing there? But yeah, I don't know. I just and then they cap it off in the perfect way in the ending, just what they I guess we'll get into it, but the way he did Victor like that,
I knew he was gonna kill that kid. I knew he was gonna kill Victor from the jump, dude. Victor was just too endearing,
He was too innocent. He was
too
just a victim of
innocent.
everything,
You saw that kid grow up, you saw them form a real bond. His stutter, unbelievable portrayal by the actor.
Problem is, like, there wasn't a bond. Like, he did a really good job of a one-sided
Yes.
like a
Yes.
manipulation of a friendship or relationship,
But if you were, you could. I think the writing and the acting was so good. I think the audience felt like they were in Victor's shoes a lot of the time. Like you mentioned a minute ago, the show never lets you forget that Oz is a piece of shit, right? He's a criminal and he's a bad guy through and through, for sure. But I think they did play with it a little bit. They did. There were moments where you're rooting for him to win.
100%.
And
Yeah,
I'm gonna
you
overlook that maybe there's people are gonna catch some bodies on the way, but it's like, ah, these are all bad people anyway. Until he's just killing innocent people. The mother, oh God, the mother-daughter, or the mother's son burning alive scene.
Oh yeah.
Jesus
Yeah,
Christ.
the Maronis, yeah.
The
Well,
Maronis.
I knew too. I remember like the moment like when he's it was so funny, like as I'm watching like this really fucked up scene where he's like choking the life out of Victor, all I could think about was how more fucked up was it that when they're I think it's in the middle of the season where they're in the club and they're trying to sell the eye drops and like Vince, kind of screws up and he comes back and like Oz just like gaslights him into like bringing him back and like that was the moment Victor died. That was the time when he came back and like the whole like he was going to kill him on the spot, and then like kind of but was like or made Victor think that way, but we all know he was going to keep because he needed him for this and that, like he needed a run boy or whatever. And it was just like it was crazy as I was watching that moment at the end. I was thinking back to like, oh, I think that was the scene where like he actually died. Like that was like his final death seal right there. But he just kept coming back. Like it, again, like took care of his mom. He did all this and that. Like found him below, got the operation going.
The kid needed a friend, right? He needed a role model. He had nobody, and he fell into the lap of somebody that could offer him some guidance and some means. And I think a great like storytelling like sift or like tool you can use as a viewer sometimes when you're trying to evaluate how you feel about something is like, does it make sense? And it does, right? Do Victor's actions make sense? Like, are some of them wrong? Yes. Are some of them right? Yes. But like, do you understand why he made the choices? Like, does it track? And it totally tracks.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so goddamn sad. And I knew he was gonna die, and I was like, don't get attached to this fucking kid. And I did. And they got me, those bastards. And then, and you know, by the end, like, let's talk about the ending. Like, he is like fully the Penguin. He's got his the mom stuff. I was in and out on. There were a couple moments where I was like, I don't know if this works, but man, like the ending, the third act of the mom storyline, how it all ends up, getting the penthouse.
I'm surprised, like, there's no way he survived that gut stab too, like, which is like pretty, like, again, like, I'm not like a physician or there, but like seems like a pretty critical place to get stabbed, you know, when the mom stabs him in the chair, like, you know, there's two back and forth, but like, you know, all the callbacks too of like the mom trying to have him killed off and like him killing his, clearly killing his brothers, like,
Oh
holy,
my God. Oh
like,
my God, the brother scene.
yeah, and it goes back, and I think it was funny too. I saw like just like a screen grab, yeah, a couple days ago of like in the first episode, he makes reference to like, you know, like, you know, what kind of mutt like kills his brothers or something like that. He's like, you know, referring to someone else or whatever, and it just goes to show like he's just, you know, just a piece of shit, great piece of shit. I'm glad, like, you know,
A lot
they're
of inner
not,
turmoil in there.
you know, I hope they don't do like a second season. I hope they just like kind of keep, you know, I think he's gonna have a bigger presence in the movies to come, I think. But this was like just like a nice, like, we saw him get to, you know, rank here to his new rank there. Like, you know, I think we're good with that.
I completely agree. I think, like, leave this alone. It's so good. And he'll command a lot more respect on screen. Not that he wasn't, you know, but he's, like you said, he's leveled up if you bring him into Batman 2 in this current state. Maybe the last thing I'll note, because it was so damn disturbing, was I remember in penultimate, maybe episode 6 or 7, Sophia finds
Oh,
Oz's
Victor and his mom.
prostitute. No, it finds a
Oh,
prostitute.
yeah.
And, you know, we think Sophie's going to kill her. She ends up not. But one of the questions she asks is, what is he like? You know what I mean? And because the prostitute has all these disguises and wigs and get-ups and gear in her house, tools of the trade. And then Sophia says, what is he like? And then she just says, he's not that complicated, you know? And then I took that to men in my, like, in the perverted moment that it was, because that's what they were alluring to, right? Was the sex trade. I was like, yeah, he's probably just a sure, he's a regular dude, whatever. But then the ending of the show is the prostitute is dressed up in the same or a very similar cocktail dress that
His
his
mom wore.
mom wore the night they had their date. And he's saying, tell me you're proud of me. I was like, oh my God.
So many layers.
Pretty perfect, actually. Pretty despicable, pretty messed up. And of course, you know, the zoom out and the bat signal in the air. They weren't kidding, dude. This show stood on its own. Like, anyway, the Penguin, man. I'm sorry I'm late. I was late, but I got there.
I don't know. 2 weeks after your finale, I think that's a perfectly good window. I think you're good.
You know what else I've binged in my ailing health? Over the last couple of days, while I've been under the weather, and I'm not caught up yet, but I did binge and get about halfway through season 2 of Shangri-La Frontier.
Oh, damn, man. Right
That's
on.
got it.
Perfect six show to have at home.
Very bingeable, and as I mentioned, I just don't really binge. I think it's mostly because adult life doesn't really allow it, right? Like, how often do you find a whole 3 hours that you can just burn?
Well,
I don't know. I don't have that.
easier for some, but yeah.
But yeah, so I want to say episode 4 of season 2. I think there's like maybe 8 or 9 episodes out. So the
Yeah,
most
I'm behind by two, I think, right now.
okay, so the most recent thing I just saw is like they've made like a clan and a clan alliance, and
Oh, there's like that meeting in the pub.
yeah, and a lot of these other competing clans are like after the information that Sun Raku and friends have, right? Like the Weathermon stuff, how do you get to Rabbitooza? And then he realized that the game patched an exploit he had found to farm the Crystal Scorpions. And the ending of the episode I just watched is he hopefully figured a way around it by forcing them all to fall.
Oh, you got a good couple episodes coming up. I really like the there's it's like a it's kind of like a, you know, that leads into like two episodes back to back of
Cool.
him him just like trying to enact on his exploiting the game, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah, I love
But
that. I love that there's always it's similar to solo leveling. It's funny because I think we watch these at around the same time.
yeah, I think so.
But I love that the show finds reason for there to be action all the time. All the time. You run into something, he's got to figure it out. There's a new problem to solve.
And it
It's
doesn't have
great.
to be like save the world. It's like there's none of that. Like nowhere in sight. It's just like dude's playing the game, is encountering the game as it's meant to be played. It's I don't know. It's such a good show too. And like I still cannot get over how well animated it is for like like I'm not gonna like belittle it, but like it's not like a show that's like firing on like all these like crazy story stuff. And like like it's just a sh you know it's just a like a just a great show, like just and it blows my mind like how consistently good and better it looks than a lot of the stuff that's prestige, like
Agreed.
it's very like again like the baseline consistency and it dials up the see like the 3D animation CG stuff like that doesn't look good anywhere, but
Sure.
so I don't
It's hit or miss.
those Crystal Scorpions especially, it's kind of like whoa,
Yeah, but
but
it's weird.
yeah.
You accept what it is at face value. Maybe to your
100%.
point, because it's not supposed to be like cream of the crop anime. But yeah, I never really blink. It always looks good. I'm never upset when there is CG. I'm not like, oh no, it's unwatchable. I don't know why, but I
And then when
just
it comes to like a serious fight, like they dial it up. Like
always.
they always find a way to go, a little more, and it looks great when they're shooting off. I think even like in the season opener where him and his group there, like the two rabbits and the cat, like they kind of like go off on one, kind of like, elite mob or whatever. And just like all of them like just throw off their final attacks. And it's like the show looks amazing. Like,
Yeah, and
but
also, yeah, his party of NPC companions has grown substantially as well. That's also been interesting. There's like the whole Inventoria
So you've done the whole
mechanic.
thing. They went down into like the dungeon. They found the piece they were looking for, I guess. Because I think that's just before the meeting.
Correct.
It's a good show. Great voice acting too. I think the guy like Sun Roku
Oh,
himself
yeah.
is so funny. Like just the also like the way like they all kind of like goof on each other.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
game like keeping the secret. He's like I I want to be the one that has the criteria to get this quest
Yeah.
completed or whatever. That's pretty funny because we've all had that a little bit like, oh, I did that. I want to be the one to like go get this and do that.
100%.
And yeah,
And there's,
really, really.
it's just so gamey. Like, I would, dude, I was so close. This is a first for me. I haven't purchased and blitzed the most recent WoW expansion yet. And I was like,
Oh, true.
dude, I had my finger on the button. I was like, there's no reason, but that I had a moment. I was like, dude, I haven't finished God of War Ragnarok yet. I'm currently
Oh
blitzing
yeah.
that.
So you're playing that?
I think I'm getting to the end, and that's also gonna, I
Very
think,
good.
tear my fucking heart in two pieces. But
Make sure when you beat it, it's probably already pre-updated and downloaded for you, but there's like a post-game like a Hades roguelite mode
Oh.
that is has like a lot of story elements around it, and it's kind of like a it's almost like a post-game kind of like wrap-up thing, and it's like a lot, it's more based on Kratos kind of like looking back on some actions to the original games like the PS2
Which
games.
I've never played.
You don't even have to like
No, but that might be a fun
but they
way
do
to
adjust
experience it.
yeah they do they bring a lot of like the Greek mythology into the game a bit, like the Ragnarok, like the engine, like the new
Oh,
game,
okay.
and it's a really good loop of like
What
but
he's been through.
it's that, and like as you get to certain points it unlocks more of like the narrative, but like again the brunt of it is like you enter into room A, do you choose this as your bonus, do you choose that as your bonus, do this is your bane or that's your bane, like it's like I beat it and did everything in like 2.5 hours, 3 hours, like
Oh,
it's
okay.
very digestible, but it's like a free deal like post game story
Oh, but you're
DLC. It's
saying.
I highly recommend playing it.
Okay, I got it. So I will not move on until I've done that. But I think I'm getting close. Man, we don't got to do a whole thing because we've talked about God of War on this pod before. But like, to put it on the record, like one of the best father-son stories in gaming or in I can't, you know what I mean? In any in recent memory, I've got across many mediums. I just can't believe how good it is.
So
It's
good.
like when I think of modern gaming and what I've had the chance to play in the last few years, like, Cyberpunk, God of War, Baldur's Gate, I can't believe how good games are.
I think we had talked about this the other night as well, or the yeah, one of the times I saw you recently. I think honestly, while you have the PlayStation, you have to play Ghost of Tsushima. It's a Sucker Punch game. It's a Sony game.
Was that the one that
It's
was released on PS4?
originally, yeah.
Okay, because they did the PC port
Yes, yep, it was
too.
PC port.
So okay, so if you were me,
Yeah.
would you get it on PS5 and play it, or would is it theoretically like really updated on the PC port?
It's pro well, it all depends on like your rig setup. If you can play on the PC and you have the smaller screen, it's in your face. That's my preferred way. I prefer like, if I can, I will. But a lot of the games I play on the TV on the PlayStation. But I don't know, either or, whatever your preference is. But incredible world, beautiful, serene, just like
Is that From Software?
No,
They
it's
have a
a
samurai
Sucker
game.
Punch. Yeah, they have
Okay.
the yeah, they have Sekiro was
Okay,
different, very different kind of ninja samurai
Gotcha.
game. But
Okay.
no, Ghost of Tsushima, my brother and I, like, I remember when
Oh
that game
yeah.
came out, we were like texting each other like daily of like, oh my God, have you seen this yet? Like, it was the two of us at the same time, we're obsessed with that game. And just as the weeb that you are as well, I think just being enthralled in Japan in that way, it's really,
True.
really, it's really, really cool.
True.
But
Okay.
yeah.
I'll queue her up.
Yeah.
All right. I've been driving here. What do you got?
Dave, I fell in love and binged Orb on the Movements
Oh, Jesus. No,
the
I'm not teasing you.
No.
So wait, so that's
Yeah.
done and out?
No, it's still week to week on Netflix right now.
Okay. And
I'm behind by
Orb?
an episode, Orb, on the Movements of the Earth. We talked about it for a brief, like, tail end of the podcast last time. Just, I do not want to get into it, like, because I think there's like a lot of not twists or anything like that, but like they're doing stuff with the story. Yeah, I guess here's a better way to set it up, because I know I had said last time, like, it, in a weird way, it reminded me of To Your Eternity and Vinland Saga. And I was more like aligned with the To Your Eternity based on kind of like maybe the animation style, kind of like the simplicity of the world. I could not have been very coincidental about how similar it is to Your Eternity, not in any mythical or kind of sci-fi ways. It's just the way the usage of time and way they play around with time and from like moments here to there and like meeting characters along the way, way more akin to that than I ever would have thought, in like more of a grounded way. Just kind of the there's like a really good basis of like the passage of or the passing of knowledge to others. And like how, things can kind of get lost, or kind of like, no, we cannot allow this to get lost. This needs to be handed down. But, this anime is like the definition of why the three episode rule with anime is like, this is why. Like, you need to get to the third
Oh, I see.
episode,
Okay,
and you're like, oh, okay, this is what they're trying to do and going forward. But,
Gotcha.
if just to remind everybody, it's just a story. It's set in 15th century Poland. Again, the power of anime, like, you couldn't get a live action story, but you couldn't get a movie or TV show off the ground to save your life. But anime is like, fuck it, we're doing it.
Fuck it, we're doing
And
it.
we're doing it. And it just kind of follows like a young boy who's, very advanced and very intelligent. He's like already going to university or whatever like the level the university is at, his age. I think he's like probably 12 or 13. And he's obsessed with astrology or astronomy. And he's kind of like clearly being coerced into going into theology instead, because it's the 15th century Poland, like the church runs
Okay.
everything.
Got you.
And
Understood.
he kind of like stumbles upon like, oh, like, because there's this whole theory, at the time the church, they weren't just like religious, like they were very scientific, like they were like the leaders on astronomy and mathematics and all this stuff. And they had the theory that the Earth was the center of the universe or the galaxy. And this kid, through A, B, and C kind of comes to the like realization, like, oh shit, like the sun might actually there's it's heliocentrism, not earth centrism or however they call it, where we're moving around the sun, like, so. But that flies in the face of like what the church says of like, oh, like, they repeat this line that like God made, or it's so funny too, because like I have like no, I've never I didn't go to Catholic, we didn't go to Catholic schools, like I've
Okay, I
never
was gonna
read
say
anything
everything
like
you're
that.
saying so far is exactly historically accurate.
Yeah, it's a very, very historically accurate show. So like it kind of hearing like what the previous religious beliefs were is it's interesting to hear. And it's just But yeah, dude, it's crazy how a show about like, watching the stars and like, there's just all these other messages and like, again, the way they play around with time and kind of jumping back and forth and again, that's not really a spoiler, but like, just because they're kind of going along how this information is being passed, they have to be super careful because the second it comes to light, like they're deemed heretics. There's no question they're getting burned on the stake kind of thing. So,
Gotcha.
but like I said, it's more akin to Vinland Saga in that regard. And kind of has like more of the hearty moments of like, people like struggling in that time period and like kind of finding bonds in others and other like-minded people, to kind of overcome the adversity they have. And then on the other side, you have all these like very fluid kind of like the 2-year eternity stuff where it's like it just really think pieces of like, people kind of coming upon these ways of thinking, which 2-Year Journey kind of did. Like they'd introduce people, and like they have a very specific way of thinking. And like, while I'm blanking on his name, main character of 2-Year Journey,
Theon Greyjoy.
Theon Greyjoy. Anyways, let's
Thorfinn.
be, but
Thorfinn. Thorfinn.
not Thor, not Vinland Saga, but 2-Year Eternity.
Fushi.
Fuchi. Fushi. So, like, because he has all this history and he has this knowledge, and he kind of like passes it on to people. And they're like, oh, like, that is like a very interesting way of thinking of things. I don't know. It has the perfect flavor of the two, more heavily leaning on Vinland Saga, like the historical stuff. But like, and the show looks good, but the second the camera pans up and you see the sky and the stars, it's like, oh, rightly so. This is where they put all their budget. Like, they really try to play into like, people are watching the star. Like, they have this whole plot where, there's this guy who in his youth was told by the church that like, it was just like a cruel joke played by a priest on when this guy was a kid that like, like the stars are eyes watching you. And this guy goes his whole life without looking up at the sky. But he's like really but he's like in this point where like he like it's like a liver, like a live or die situation and he has to like look up at the sky and watching this guy overcome this stuff and it's like this is like weirdly powerful. And it finds little ways at the animeisms, but like it's one of those shows where it's like, holy fuck, man. Like this is not why was this not pushed super hard? Again, it's a problem. It's on Netflix, like they're never going to. But
Yeah, and
I
interject with that question is this one of the shows that's simulcast on Netflix and Crunchy, or it's just a Netflix exclusive?
just Netflix.
So yeah,
It,
it's
like
probably
again, it's in
part of
my
the problem.
algorithm, it's on my splash page, like every time. It's the first thing I see when I sign into
Yeah.
Netflix.
How many episodes are up?
I think 9 now. It's been on, like it started airing, like it's a fall show, so it started airing with
Yeah.
everything else. But yeah, it's like, it's you have to, it's one of those things that if you're not into it in the first few episodes, like that's fine. But again, I'm not trying to pitch and I get so much, but like I
Give
think
her
this
the
is like,
three
I
if you're gonna
think
try.
anyone listening, and not just you, Dave, like the just what they do in those first 3 episodes, kind of setting the time period, the power of the church, kind of like the hopelessness of anyone trying to like further like their own scientific studies and like just the crushing power of the church is like such a big thing and just kind of what like the ways people try and get around that. I don't know, it's not a show that I ever expected to be on my radar. I only tried it because it was on the page and the key art was like really really cool and I was like, oh, this doesn't quite seem like what the trailer shows, so I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty good show.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Orb on the movements of the Earth.
Yeah, banger OP and ED too. So
Banger
good.
OP. All right. On Netflix. Okay. I'll see if I can get around to it.
Yep.
It might be tricky because with the, right now we've got two couple shows, right? Thursdays, Dan to Dan.
Word.
And then, we're getting back into the whole, like, we need a 1 hour drama. We had White Lotus. Sam abandoned me when it came to the penguin, said it was too dark. But what we seem to be agreeing on is the three body problem. Only two episodes in,
Okay.
very strong. We're probably only averaging, one a week, if that.
Sure.
But they're going to try and pump those numbers up. But I think, Sam said it the other day, and I felt the exact same way. She goes, God, I hope this doesn't end. Like, I hope this doesn't suck. Because we like it. You know what I mean? It's like,
Yeah.
sci-fi, it feels like so hit or miss sometimes, especially on TV. The
It has like
genre
a
can be,
schlocky is my biggest thing with TV sci-fi.
yeah, it can be,
Yeah.
oh, it's so hit or miss. But so far, and I like some of the subplots are like, where the fuck is this going? But I have faith.
I tell you, it comes, it all
I'm
comes
sure it
together,
does.
yeah.
So, because I know the source material is very highly regarded. And I know people love season one, and you know, there's more coming and all that. So all those things are very good signs. But yeah, there are moments where it's like, you know, like the stars turning off and on was interesting. The results of the Large Hadron Collider, very like that stuff is so interesting. But the video game plot, the VR plot, I'm like, what
I
is
remember,
that? Yeah,
when
it seems
I,
so out of place, but I'm sure it's there for a reason.
when that first came up, I was like, oh, okay, this is like the beginning of like the stuff that I don't like. You know, I'm not a, you know, it's fine. Like we like Solo Leveling. You know, we like Shangri-La Frontier, which is very like VR AR forward, or gamified things or whatever. It's just like okay, I'll just, and then it just gets to a point where like, oh, like. Of course, like that was like the route that was taken, to deliver this story to you. And like it all kind of like, but great cast, incredible cast, such good chemistry. They do a really good job of showing like how difficult big groups of friends can be. And like as you'll see that like along the way, but just like the everyone has like very specific personality, kind of, it's yeah, everyone has history.
Well,
Very good
D&D
show.
have a lot of experience handling an ensemble cast and then tanking all their storylines. But I'm sure that won't happen this time. No, I'm playing.
Well, so I started reading the book, and what the show is a wild departure from the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they very much like they kind
Not
of
shocking.
no, but
I
like
can't even be mad.
again, from what I've read so far, and like I watched like a couple of videos, like just trying to like you finish a show, like Easter
Of
eggs here and
course.
there, and this and that. And like they definitely did this thing where they're pulling stuff from like the third book and the second book, and like the whole cast is like an amalgamation of like a couple characters each. So like
Sometimes that makes
yeah,
sense, right?
it makes sense. Like no, I don't think I don't from what I understand, like next with the exception of one member, none of like the group of friends are in the books. They're all like show creations. So but I like the show, I like the book so
I
far,
was
really,
gonna say,
so yeah.
but you know, season one of the show got highly well reviewed, so we'll see see if they can stick a landing on that one. What else you got?
I got one little thing. Do you remember? I remember last year there was a show, a Wit Studio came out. It was like one of their the Netflix partnerships they did. It was called The Grim Variations.
Nope, not
It
even
was like a
remotely.
yeah. So it was like a six episode. They're doing adaptations of the Brothers Grimm stories. So like the first one is I don't even know, I didn't realize they wrote it, but like the first one is Cinderella, the second one is like Little Red Riding Hood. I've only watched the first two. Pretty good, like just like amazing looking, studio wit, typical, like they're like they always just put out amazing looking stuff. They I don't know, the of the two that I watched, like the first one, the Cinderella one, I thought was like really well done. They took the story of Cinderella, set it in a certain period, I forget the time period, in Japan. Again, like it's not, no one's like called Cinderella, but like you can clear like the motions. They do like a really cool thing, the inverse, where it's, the evil stepsisters, like they might have been the victims, by not necessarily Cinderella, but like other people like at hand. And just they're like 45 minutes each, and just kind of like a really kind of cool, like playing around with.
45 minutes each.
Yeah, they're like kind of like almost like short movies. Like they're not doesn't there's no continuation between each one. Like I think one Cinderella, Little Red
Is it
Riding Hood.
Crunchyroll?
No, Netflix as well. Because Wit Studio has that partnership with them.
Oh,
They've been doing a
yes.
lot
I
of
remember
stuff.
now. I remember now, yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. It's like it was good, and it was like, it didn't blow me away, but it's like I just get more stuff from them. The second one I enjoyed way less. They did this whole thing about like almost like they tackled like Blade Runner time period, where like there's only one little pocket of the world that's habitable, like people that live down in the desert, and then people live up in this like in this city where, it's essentially like a blank slate city. They're all the rich people live up there, but they color the world in themselves by taking like methamphetamines, like like putting drops in their eyes, and they're
I'm seeing a
like
lot of this in movies and TV
yeah,
lately.
and it's like nanobots in the drugs. And they're like kind of affecting your eyesight and your brain, kind of like building the world, like what you want to see. Kind of cool. But yeah, it's kind of cool to see like these stories have like fresh takes on like, 100-year-old, 200-year-old stories. But other than that, yeah, no, that's like I checked them out. It didn't grab me enough. Like I feel like I had to watch all of them right away. I think I'll kind of like piecemeal my way. But the Cinderella one, the opening one, was really, really good, really well done. I think I'll watch that one again just to kind of like
Interesting.
see, like, there's some tells apparently when I was reading on Reddit. I'm like, oh, like, this here, like in the first like 30 seconds, like, did you catch this? Like, clearly there's a setup for a moment later. So I'm looking forward to going back and at least watching that one again. But yeah, no, other than that, oh, actually, a little bit of news. Did you get 30 million copies sold of Cyberpunk 2077?
Wow. Awesome.
And with the announcement, they're doing a second season of a Cyberpunk anime.
Yes, yeah. Wait, so is it going to be like Cyberpunk Edrunners S2, or is it a
They
completely unrelated?
set a new story, but I believe Trigger is involved. So,
New Cyberpunk.
yeah.
30 million is great. Good for them. Do you know how that stack? I don't expect you to have figures, but do you know how that stacks up to like the other games that studio has done? It's Project Red, right?
Yeah, CD Projekt Red. Well, I think, well, The Witcher 3 is one of the all-time selling games at this point. So it's probably, I think it's in like the 100 range,
Jesus.
I think. I'm pretty sure it is. What a good game. Yeah. Actually, I
Sounds
picked
good
that
as
one up
Cyberpunk.
cheap on a sale for on
Nice.
Steam, so I'm gonna play that one on PC soon.
Nice.
Jump back in. But yeah.
Last on anime, I was just gonna say, just so you know, I'm still week to week on Dragon Ball Diamond, Daima, and Blue Lock.
You liking it?
Can come join me whenever you want, dude. It's fine. I think I've got the definitive take. I think the definitive take is if you're a Dragon Ball fan and you want more content, it's there. Go ahead, enjoy. Because I was trying to think of the whole like, does this bastardize the perfect Dragon Ball experience? And like the truth is, and I really don't think this is a hot take, but you never know. I think if you put any of the Dragon Ball series under a microscope, like none of them, like while all of them are nostalgic,
Sure.
right? To our generation especially, none of them are perfect. Like none of them are like, you're not telling your friends, like, oh, you want to get into anime? Start with Dragon Ball because it's the pinnacle. Like no one has said those words, right? Super had so many goddamn problems. Z was about 50% too long. Dragon Ball itself is almost like a different show compared to the other
Very,
two.
yeah, very of the time.
So this is like a new, fresh take. It does, I mean, we're only 7 episodes in or whatever, but for the record, animation has remained strong. It's fun. So yeah, like,
Action yet? Has there been some throwdowns?
yeah, but nothing crazy. Like
Oh.
there's action. It's kind of is maybe a stretch, but it's almost Strangler Law Frontier-ish in that they find a reason to get into trouble every episode, which
Okay.
reminds you
Yeah.
of the original Dragon Ball series. Yeah, it's definitely a little bit less of, I mean, I don't know, I was gonna say less of saving the universe, but we're 7 episodes in. You know, I'm sure they
Sure.
have plenty of time for that. So I don't know. It's fun, it's light, I enjoy it. As you would say, it's popcorn, right? I'm having fun with it, but I'm a big Dragon Ball fan. And
And was your hunch on Blue Lock correct? Did they kind of, steer the ship into like a decent range, or like,
Yes-ish.
okay.
Grant's referring to like season 2 of Blue Lock. Getting that thing off the ground was like, animation-wise, super rickety. It was all about like prepping for this really big U20s match, and now the U20s match, we're maybe 2 episodes in. And yes, the animation quality has taken a very noticeable step up. I would venture to say it is still probably not quite as good as the average season 1 episode.
Okay.
There are moments that are like really, really high, like really Sakuga inducing
Yeah.
moments, but it's hard to say. Because I never really rewatched season 1, so it's hard to say. Like, do you even remember it that well?
Yeah.
Because it's also one of those things, right? As you and I know very well, the minute you start looking for things to be wrong, the more you find them,
Sure.
right? So the moment you start counting how many times they do CG, the more you're gonna, that tally is gonna go up. So yeah, I think across the board it's a touch weaker, but I know you know what I'm talking about when I say like there is something about a sports anime that lends itself to an ensemble cast. There are these, mo it's this big important match, right? And there's a team of, I don't know, 10, but you've spent damn near 30 episodes with these characters now.
Mm.
So when character A has a moment, like, well, he's the lead of the series, makes sense. But it's somehow more special when character X has a
Oh shit, he
moment.
passed to him. Fuck. Yeah, like
And
you
now
can't,
he's
like
popping
he
off.
made the save.
And oh,
No,
wait a
I
minute, his whole
100%
thing
know.
is he runs fast. And now he's gonna do the thing where he runs fast. You know, it's like it makes me feel like a simpleton for getting excited about, but
No,
it's
dude.
fun as hell.
No.
There was this big moment. I actually just put it on our Instagram at Part Time Otaku Podcast, where you can find us. We're on TikTok as well. Where they had this big moment where a key character scored a goal, and I was like, y'all must have forgot. You know, it was just like I was in the basement, like, and
That's so
I
funny.
was like, I don't know when I became this person, but let's fucking go.
I don't know, but I think the most involved and excitable I've been watching the anime is Haikyuu. Like there's
Yeah.
no doubt about it. Like some of those major matches, like you're just like you're standing up, you're like fucking cheering,
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
yeah, it's great.
It's hype, dude. All right. Like, we can wrap up. I'm
Yep.
gonna give you homework or a
Oh,
challenge,
all
and
right.
you can tell me if it's unreasonable. I just watched 7 hours of The Penguin in about 9 days.
Okay.
Pretty good. I just want you to have a copy of Berserk in your hand the next time we sit down and do this.
That's doable.
I think it's doable. All right, very well.
Okay.
Because if it's your first time joining, we're doing like dedicated Berserk Deluxe Edition reviews on the pod, right? That's the whole reason we started with video. Volume one, oh, I have a fake background, is somewhere behind me. Volume two is upstairs, and I'm trying so hard not to just devour it. But Grant's got to get his copy, and then we'll have a fresh episode for you guys.
I'll work on it.
But we never set like a cadence, right? We never said, oh, we have to do one a month or whatever. Like, they'll come out when they come out, but step one is we got to pick up that volume. Okay, I think that's about it, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Reminder, subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. I remember saying this last time, like, I don't even I think there might be a way to get the video on Apple Podcasts, but I haven't quite figured it out yet. So for now, if you want video, Spotify and YouTube. Much appreciate everybody tuning in. We've wanted video forever. I'm so happy that we're doing it every single time now, and we're getting better every single time. I have a whole new shot set up. Grant's editing, like it's crazy. So thanks for sticking around. We're really enjoying ourselves here, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Grant, go ahead, say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.